Blog Talk Radio.
Our Memorial Day celebration. This is the Spirit of America party, and I thought I'd open up with I was digging through some old paperwork, and I came across this, and I'll share it with you. My son, FBI, 1995 to present, is a team leader in the Bureau CIRG, Critical Incident Response Group, division out of Quantico. As the date for the inauguration approached, I asked him if he was going to be able to avoid going into the district and fighting the record crowds and traffic. To my surprise, he replied, "Dad, I got one of the greatest assignments you could ever imagine. Due to my work with the folks who run the Stolen Valor Program, that's directed against people wearing military medals for which they're not entitled, like the Attorney General of Connecticut, I've been selected to escort the recipients of the Medal of Honor who will be attending the ceremony." As a proud VMI graduate and an Army veteran, he was on cloud nine. On the day of the inauguration, just before noon, I received a call from him telling me that he was standing with the 48 Medal of Honor attendees on the steps of the Capitol, awaiting the oath of office for the new president. He said many were World War II veterans, and ages ranged from 80s to the 60s. What struck him the most was his observation that these guys just come across as regular people, with no big egos or bragging. They're very humble, and some almost seem embarrassed to anyone that wants to make a fuss over them. I am so honored to be among them. However, when I spoke to him a few days later, another image of the event had emerged. For the first time since 1953, when the first inaugural ball honoring Medal of Honor recipients was organized for President Eisenhower, the new president, Mr. Obama, didn't bother to attend. Normally, the MOH ball is the first stop for a new president, and the last nine presidents from both parties have gone out of their way to pay tribute to these men who have earned the nation's highest military award for bravery. But not this time. My son tells me that the honored veterans waited patiently until it became clear that this year, for the first time in 56 years, their president would not be paying them a visit. For some who have attended every ball since its inception in 53, they were bewildered as to why this year he chose not to visit them, if only for a few minutes. For these men, tradition is very important, and for many of them, tradition was what gave them the courage to perform the valiant acts which earned them the MOH. My son told me there were expressions of sadness and disappointment, and a fear that this snub may only be a precursor of how military service will be viewed by the new administration in the future. So, now, Obama not only snubs the living, but he also snubs our sacred dead. And you know what you can do with this president? He's finished in my book. We will open our show and our tribute to the fallen, wishing everybody a pleasant, not a happy Memorial Day, but a pleasant Memorial Day. And we'll open with the Navy hymn. What started out as a two or three verse hymn has been added on by different branches of the service over the years. And I'll read you a couple. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in dangerous hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoever they go, thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea. O Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, thy brethren go, protect them by thy guardian hand from every peril on the land. To all Marines, both day and night, the courage, honor, strength, and skill, their land to serve, thy law fulfill. Be thou the shield forevermore from every peril to the core. was added in 1966. Lord, stand beside the men who build and give them courage, strength, and skill. Oh, grant them peace of heart and mind and comfort loved ones left behind. Lord, hear our prayer for all CBs, where they be on land and sea. Added in 1960. Lord God, our power evermore, whose arm doth reach the ocean floor, dive with our men beneath the sea, traverse the depths protectively. O hear us when we pray and keep them safe from peril in the deep. Added in 1965. O God, protect the women who in service faith in thee renew. O guide devoted hands of skill, and bless their work within thy will. Inspire their lives that they may be examples fair on land and sea. That was added in 48, then another line in 72, and another line in 73. Creator Father, who dost show the splendor in the ice and snow, bless those who toil in summer light and through the cold Antarctic night. As they thy frozen wonders learn, bless those who wait for their return. 1965. Eternal King, Eternal Father, King of birth, who didst create the heaven and earth, and bid the planets and the sun their own appointed orbits run, O hear us when we seek thy grace for those who serve through outer space. That was added in 1961. Creator Father, who first breathed in us the life that we received, by power of thy breath restore the ill in men with wounds of war. Bless those who give their healing care, that life and laughter all may share. Was added in 1969 and 1970. Lord, guard and guide the men who fly and those who on the ocean ply. Be with our troops upon the land and all who for their country stand. Be with these guardians day and night, and may their trust be in thy might. 1955. And when at last her course is done, her work for home and country done, of all the souls that in her sailed, let not one life in thee have failed, but hear the heaven our sailors cry, and grant eternal life on high. And there's more, but I just wanted to give you a little taste. Hang in there. And while we pray for our wounded and our suffering GIs, I'm looking at a picture of Nancy Pelosi embarking from her luxury aircraft, and she's getting off it and to the red carpet treatment that was presented her by Bashar al-Assad of Syria, and with her about 20 Congress mice that came off the front of the plane, and a camera caught Denis Kucinich sneaking off the back because he didn't want to be seen with her in case they were all arrested for treason when they came home. And who's there? Waxman. Henry Waxman, Mr. Baseball himself, Tom Lantos, I told you, Denis Kucinich. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable how many traitors there are in the House and the Senate. You don't know that yet. You're just finding out slowly. By the time you learn it, you'll be in a POW camp. Hang in there. I was doing research on, my biggest war cry is the people who voted to let the flag burn. I call them flag burners. If you stand by and you watch a fire without throwing water on it, you just as well created the same crime as an arsonist. And so I call them flag burners. And when they vote to kill kids, I call them baby killers. And I know that's harsh in a politically corrected Muslim-muzzled world, but that's, with, as they say in darts, tough darts. So I just thought I would, I started to review the the flag burning issue, because the flag burning issue came to a head 55 days before 9/11. 135 Viet Congress mice voted to let the flag burn. And their excuse was that it's not being desecrated that much. Just like when they murder 1,400,000 American babies, they say, that's a very small count. Yeah, unbelievable. You know, they voted not to give kids anesthesia that were being torn from limb to limb in the ninth month. How's that? You know what? You couldn't do that to a dog. You'd have PETA on your back. But you can do it to an American kid. Unbelievable. Absolutely. So anyway, so that was the House vote. 135 voted to let Old Glory burn. The same flag that draped 3,000 Americans tortured on 9/11. And they were all tortured. And I was just looking at some old pictures. And I didn't realize that a piece of meat that was on the floor from jumping off the building, it was a woman's foot. That's all it was left of her. Unbelievable. And the rest of the leg looked like chopped meat. And I had a picture of the guy and the girl that jumped holding hands, and I never realized it, but the guy's feet were on fire. It must have been hot up there. But not as hot as the hell that's reserved for all of the bastards that sold us out. And sell us out today, like Community Board 1. Appointed by Mayor Bloomingdale, the Imam of New York, who was allowing a Victory Mosque to be built on the bones of dead Americans. So, anyway, I thought, you know, being an understanding and sympathetic American, I thought, well, you know, these misguided communists with no war experience whatsoever voted to burn the flag, and they really believed it was freedom of speech. And then 40 days before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag, including Mitch McConnell, who's now the head of the spokesman for the Republican Party. Okay? So that tells you there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. I say the only difference is they wear nicer dresses. So Mitch McConnell is a flag burner. And you know that America is outnumbered of 51 to 49. Freedom is outnumbered of 51 to 49. And most votes that are life and death critical votes are won or lost by one vote. So back when 48 senators voted to burn the flag, and 8 of them were Republicans, including Fred Thompson, who is now being passed off as a conservative, but he's not getting by me. You vote to burn my flag. Mm-mm. You're not getting by. You're not getting a goodwill pass. Sorry, pal. You got to atone for your sins in public. You got to beg for forgiveness. You got to go to Normandy and prostrate yourself on the beach and ask for forgiveness for voting to burn the flag that drapes 6,000 bodies on that beach. But anyway, and that doesn't count Iwo Jima. You should have to do the Stations of the Cross at American military cemeteries. Anyway, so we figured that after 9/11, America would come together and fight the Muslim enemy. And don't tell me they're terrorists. They're not terrorists. They're Muslims. And they're following their religion. And they're good Muslims. A good Muslim follows his religion. And his religion is calling for jihad. Do you want me to read you a couple of surahs from the Quran? Do you need convincing? So anyway, I figured that after 9/11, America would wise up after losing 3,000 Americans. Well, the New York Times only reported 2,800, but they didn't count the 200 unborn babies that were murdered and mutilated along with their mothers. Yes. 9/11 is a big joke in the Middle East. There's a lot of 9/11 jokes. You should have to listen to every one of them. Just before they Danny Pearl you. So I figured after 9/11 we'd all learn our lesson. And we'd all come together as a nation. But we're more divided now than ever before. And so up comes the flag desecration vote one more time. And I said, well, this time for sure, we're going to win. I think last time, back in just before 9/11, it was defeated. The flag desecrate, making it a federal crime to desecrate the American flag. It was defeated by 4 votes. So I said, well, that's it. We should definitely win this time. And we didn't. You know what we lost by? We lost by 1 vote. And guess who voted for the first time? Your president. He's no longer my president. I disowned him as of today. I disowned him on the Memorial Day weekend. You want to snub me? I can understand it. You want to snub men who died for this country? I cannot forgive it. Because you showed your true colors. You're wearing Bill Ayer's shoes. So anyway, we lost by 1 vote, and that vote was President Obama. Or, if you want to say we lost by 1 vote, and that vote was Match McConnell, I'll accept that. And that's why Match McConnell has to go. And if Match McConnell doesn't go, Americans should withdraw from the Republican Party. Our party is too small to have 1 dissenting vote. We either stand together like the Spartans, or we're gonna suffer the Spartan fate. But at least we'll all die together. And right now we're outnumbered. You have no idea. When 29 members of the 29-member board of Community One give 3,000 dead Americans the finger, you know you lost your country. And if you want to get something to really make you sick, you really want to get something that'll make you throw up, you want to really take a look at something that will open your eyes and they'll never shut again, you get the transcript of the vote, the flag desecration vote, in 2005. You get the transcript and see who stood up and said, screw America, and they're the same ones that are screwing us today. And you're going to be shocked. You got to do research. You're sending all these people to the House and the Senate to hurt you, and you don't even know it. There are people that are there that wouldn't even be accepted in the mafia because they're too crooked. Hang in there, we'll talk some more. The sorry-ass state of Connecticut is about to send one more lemon to the Senate. And that's a liar, Attorney General, who told everybody he was a Vietnam veteran. But you see, that doesn't mean anything. Because the state of Connecticut gave us Christopher Dudd, one of the biggest crooks in history, allegedly, and Joe Liverwish, an Orthodox Jew who votes to burn the flag and votes to kill kids. How Orthodox is that? Oh, House of David, what have you sent us? Here's a little tribute to GIs who have left a part of their bodies in war zones. They said it was the wrong war at the wrong time. They said we came for oil and committed crime. They said we should surrender and beg, but they forgot to tell your leg. They said there were no nukes in Iraq, yet they failed to watch your back. They said Al-Qaeda was not in town until we showed and put them down. They said 30,000 will die, but they forgot to tell your eye. They said the U.S. military was a disgrace, but they forgot to tell your face. So you left Afghan, Iraq, but a piece of you remains. Your blood is in the sand, and freedom has been regained. They will never understand that you heard a patriot's call. They can't fathom God and country above all. Once again, they tried to spit on your return, like the draft dodgers before our flag did burn. Because of your bravery, you walked the walk. A leg, an eye, arm and life, the price to save New York. Thank you. You saved my family.
Something to upload. I'm almost finished, he said. And, I had something come to mind that I left out. What was it? It won't come to me when I'm searching for it. All right, let me get up here and take a look at this thing. I hate to do this, but I got to do it. So here we go. My switchboard. We're going to my switchboard. And we'll try this one. Let's see what happens here. I got two choices. All right.
Okay, here we go. Why the American flag is folded 13 times. I never knew this. I just learned it at this late in life. I thought I'd share it with you. You'd be ahead of the game. Someday when you're taken prisoner for being an American by other Americans, just before they execute you, you can think of these words. Have you ever noticed on TV or at military funerals that the honor guard pays meticulous attention to correctly folding the American flag 13 times? Each fold of the U.S. flag has an important meaning. We have verified its accuracy at the U.S. Air Force Academy website. Go to the main page and then click on flags. The first fold of our flag is the symbol of life, and no American should ever have to die because they were born American. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in eternal life, and may that be right. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing our ranks who gave a portion of their lives for the defense of our country to attain peace throughout the world. I am grateful to the U.S. Army because they made me better than I was when I originally started out, and I learned things like teamwork, duty, honor, and country. And I'm a better man for having served my country. The fourth fold represents our weakened nature, for as American citizens are trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace as well as in times of war for His divine guidance, and many a cloud cover may have been a gift from God. The fifth fold is a tribute to our country, for the words of Stephen Decatur, "Our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong." And I believe that. And my saying is, my country is never wrong. The sixth fold is for where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice of all. So says all of we, except the president. Seven, the seventh fold is a tribute to our armed services, for it is through the armed services that we protect our country and our flag against all her enemies, whether they are found within or without the boundaries of the republic. And today most of them are found within. There's 2,800 mosques or ammo dumps, as I call them. The eighth fold is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day, and to honor Mother, for whom it flies on Mother's Day. God bless moms. There's no greater gift that God has given us than mothers and daughters. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood. So there's two for the girls. For it has been through their faith, their love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have made this country great has been molded. Truer words were never spoken. The tenth is a tribute to Dad, for he too has given his sons and daughters for our defense of our country since they were first born. My own father was an immigrant from Ireland. He gave this nation four sons. Each one served in a branch of the service. And that was his contribute to the land that gave him so much. The 11th fold, in the eyes of a Hebrew citizen, represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and King Solomon, and glorifies in their eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The twelfth fold, in the eyes of a Christian citizen, represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in their eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And 13, the last fold, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding us of our nation's motto, "In God We Trust." After the flag is completely folded and tucked in, it takes on the appearance of a cocked hat, ever reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington and the sailors and Marines who served under Captain John Paul Jones. Those who were followed by their comrades and shipmates in the armed forces of the United States, preserving for us the rights, privileges, and the freedoms that we enjoy today. And I just want to say one thing that I take issue with, that I saw on TV. They were doing a tribute to John Paul Jones, and they called him the father of the American Navy. I was taught in history that John Barry was the father of the American Navy. So I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to confirm it once and for all. I'll either be right or wrong when I come back. I'm back with the answer. If you Google John Barry, the father of the American Navy, you will see it's confirmed. Okay, he was considered the father of the American Navy. So the guy on the History Channel who said it was John Paul Jones, who was a great leader, okay, it was John Barry who was the father. So the guy on the History Channel is wrong. So we learned something new today. Personal life. On October the 31st, 1768, Barry married Mary Cleary, who died in 1774. On July the 7th, 1777, he married Sarah Austin, daughter of Sam Austin and Sarah Keene of New Jersey. He had no children, but he helped raise Patrick and Michael Hayes, children of his sister Eleanor and her husband, Thomas Hayes, who both died in the 1780s. Life was not easy. Barry died at Strawberry Hill in present-day Philadelphia. On September the 13th, 1803, he was buried in the graveyard of Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in Center City, Philadelphia. His naval service, on his first list of rank, Barry was not on it. Fortunately, the Navy found more ships and posted a new list in which Barry was 7th out of 24. He commanded the Lexington, the Raleigh, and the Alliance. He and his crew on the Alliance fought and won the final naval battle of the American Revolution off the coast of Cape Canaveral on March the 10th, 1783. He was seriously wounded in 1781 during the capture of the HMS Atalanta and Trespassy. Barry was successful in suppressing three mutinies during his career as an officer in the Continental Navy. Captain Barry was given the command of Lexington of 14 guns in 1775, sailed in 1776 off the Capes of Virginia, and he fell in with Edward, tendered to the British man of war, HMS Liverpool, and after a desperate fight in 1 hour and 20 minutes, captured her and brought her to Philadelphia. He was once offered 100,000 British pounds and command of any frigate in the entire British Navy if he would desert the American Navy. Outraged at the offer, Barry responded that not all the money in the British Treasury or command of the entire fleet could tempt him to desert his adopted country. And we got a president that takes 450,000 large and gives pardons to drug dealers. You think about that and ask yourself, what kind of country are we living in today? So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about it. They have a statue to him. He was from Wexford in Ireland. And the best place that honors him is a bar in Oman called the Commodore Barry Bar. Yeah, so he was the father of the American Navy. God bless him and keep him. And I hope they're all drinking nickel beers up in paradise. Okay, we're going to get serious now. I'm looking at a picture of a Marine that's handing that tricolored flag to a young boy. I'm sure you've seen this picture. It was taken in 2007. He's got a suit on like his first communion suit, and he's fighting back tears. And he's getting the flag in place of his father. So I just wanted to tell you what Memorial Day really means. I'm just a nameless silhouette, nobody knows my face. Though many of you pray for me each day, the man you said you won't forget in a dark and distant place. I am the POW, I am the MIA. I am a Navy pilot, I am a dead Marine. I am a wounded grunt that they couldn't find, but I'm living still, and I'm long dead, and I'm somewhere in between, and I can't believe that I was left behind. They killed me in an ambush, and they captured me alive, and I died when my UE crashed and burned. They overran my unit, but I managed to survive. And they brought me north in chains when they returned. They beat me and they whipped me, and they worked me till I dropped. To break my will, they made their best endeavor. When great despair had gripped me, still the torture never told me that they had married my best friend. But there's a prayer I hold inside that helps me to go on. That someone still remembers, and they'll bring me home again. I'm just a nameless silhouette, nobody knows my face. Though many of you pray for me each day, the man you said you won't forget in a dark and distant place. I am the POW. I am the MIA. And I'm also a prisoner of the womb who was scheduled to die today. Remember this, when the communists kill what they call a classifier as a fetus, okay? That's a fetus that has DNA that's traceable back to its mother and father. And that's a fetus that has a soul. They have to crush the head first. You think about that.
Mentioned that I'm opposed to the Victory Mosque in New York City? Did I mention that my mayor has sold us out? He's the new imam of New York City? Okay, here we go. I'm coming back. Coming back around. Can you believe that 29 people, all 29 people on Community Board 1, not one of them said, have a little respect for the dead? How do you figure that? Huh? Wouldn't you like to see a list of the names and what their country of origin is? How sad.
Today's a good day to hit the History Channel and see some World War II footage that you'll never see. Maybe you never see again. By the time the communists get through with us, they'll have rewritten history. I often say they're waiting for the last World War II vet to die so they can rewrite history. When all the witnesses are gone, they will say it never happened the way that it did happen. It will be the Hollywood version. And somebody mentioned to me about Hollywood that they could understand how Muslims hate us based on what comes out of Hollywood. And it's true. If I was a religious Muslim and I saw the crap that comes out of Hollywood, much of it would not even make a box office profit if it wasn't for the subsidies and the cable bill, where you have to buy the whole package, and actually you're supporting crap. But these Muslims, when they see the Hollywood version of what America really looks like, I would be incensed. I would want to come here and cut everybody's throat too, rid the world of scum, because that's all Hollywood puts out is scum movies. But having said that, I want to turn my focus to another outrage, which took place on the 4th of June, 2003, at 8:47 p.m. at night, under the cover of darkness. Under the cover of darkness, 139 Americans betrayed the unborn. They sold out the most helpless of the helpless. It was the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. They wanted to put an end to partial birth abortion. And 282 brave Americans stood up for their kids and their country. And 139 Viet Congress mice stood against them and said, kill them all. And so that was the roll call vote. And I guess it passed because they needed, I think it's two-thirds yay and one-third nay. So they had what? They had almost 300 to 120. So it must have passed. But let me tell you, it's the same ones all the time that stand in America's way. And they have to be thrown out of office. They have to be removed right away. Abercrombie Ackerman Allen, Baldwin, Becerra, Berman, Blumeyer, Boucher, Brady from Pennsylvania, Capuano, Carden, Carson from Indiana, Clay, Conyers. Conyers can be counted on to hurt America every single time. He's the guy that wanted to impeach the vice president. He's a dyed-in-the-wool communist. Davis from California. Again, no good. Davis from Illinois. DeFazio. What a disgrace to the name DeFazio. DeJet. DeLauro. Duggett. Engel. Evans. Harmon. Jane Harmon. Jane Harmon. They ought to call her Hook, because she probably likes to reach into the womb with a hook. With a big hook. With a cargo hook. Hastings from Florida. What a sellout. Hinchy, Hoffel, Holt, Honda, Hooley, Steny Hoyer, the guy that looks like Mr. Clean. Yes. Don't leave him with the kids. Inslee, Israel, is a guy named after a holy state. Jackson from Illinois, Jackson Lee. How's that? She likes to kill black babies. Johnson, E.B., Kilpatrick. What a disgrace. Kind. Lawson from Washington. Lee. Levin. There's the Levins again. These two guys, what are they, surgeons? Lewis from Georgia. Lowy. Maloney. There's Maloney again. Phony Maloney. Markey from Massachusetts. What a butcher. Matsui. What a disgrace. McCarthy from Missouri. McCollum. Meehan. Oh, there's McDermott. McDermott's right there. And I'm skipping names, too. I'm just reading the ones I checked off. Meek from Florida. Meek's from New York. Pastor. Pelosi. There's Nancy Pelosi. Grandma. Grandma. What a big dilatation and curettage instrument you have. Rangel. What a guy. He's selling out his own people, man. And they elect him every time. Yeah. Get out of here, kid. You bother me. Roy Ballard, Sabo. Bernie Sanders. How's that? Mr. Abortion himself. Yeah. Schakowsky. What a disgrace. It's a disgrace when a woman does it. Scott from Georgia. Scott from Virginia. Slaughter. An appropriate name. Solis. Tauscher. Stark. Thompson from California and Baghdad. Tierney. There's the U-Dolls again. Both from Colorado and New Mexico. Valesquez, what a disgrace. What, you don't like niños? Waters, what a wicked woman. Watson, what? Here's Henry Waxman, man. Oil can Henry. And Anthony Weiner, he can be trusted on to hurt kids. Farr, Fatah, Filner, Barney Frank, Gonzalez, Moore, Moran, Crazy Moran from Virginia. Nadler, Mr. America, Wexler, the guy that lives in Maryland and rules Florida, Cardinal Woolsey, and Woo, Woo is me. And here's 13 who didn't vote, and you know who they are? I'll give you two names. Dick Gephardt, he never voted on anything controversial. You check his voting record, never once. He's Kaliwali in Arabic. He's a fence sitter. Eshu. Lantos, Tom Lantos. Oh, they used to do. Oh, he was an immigrant and he came here and he worked his way up and he's a wonderful person. And he votes to kill kids and he goes to Syria with Nancy Pelosi, Uday Pelosi, who wants to charge George Bush now with the murder of her two sons, Uday and Kusei. Zoe Lofgren, Crazy Zoe, and a guy named Ryan, who couldn't even vote. I'm voting my conscience by not voting. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune. Let's see if we have a tribute to babies.
You know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, girl. Judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I know you made the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Good baby, won't you look at you now? Oh, I mean, oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I know you're beautiful, too beautiful.
I can't let this one go by. Final vote results for roll call 31. On the 26th of February, this is 2 weeks after Valentine's Day, on 2004, at 1:55 p.m., the bill title is The Unborn Victims of Violence Act. And they wanted to pass a law that says you can't commit violence against the unborn. Yeah, it's probably protecting the fetus after the mother's been beaten. Okay? The vote was 254 yes, let's protect the kids, to 163 no, let's kill them all. Okay? And you want a few names? I'll tell you this much. Of the 163 that voted to kill all the kids, 93 also voted to burn the flag. Oh, they don't call it burning the flag. It's letting the flag burn. It's freedom of speech. Yes. Yeah, you could do it to Lincoln, Washington, Grant, Patton, Sherman. Yeah, you go tell them. Tell it to the Marines. Yeah, hot stuff, right? That's a good saying, tell it to the Marines. Here they are, the usuals, Abercrombie, Ackerman, Allen, Baldwin, Berman, Blumeyer, Brady from Pennsylvania, Bushair, Capuano again, Cardin, Carson in Indiana, Clay, Kanye's, there's Kanye's, Old Faithful. Wherever there's a kid to be killed, he'll be there. Wherever there's a flag to be burned, he'll vote, let it burn. Davis from California, I think he also went to Baghdad to lick Saddam's galoshes. Davis from Illinois, DeFazio, what a disgrace, DeJet, DeLauro, Barney Frank, old Barney can be counted on to abuse children. Dix, Dingle, Eshoo, Engel, Evans, Fatah, Filner. Where else were we here? Did I say Gonzalez, Greenwood, Hinchy, Heffel, Holt, Steny Hoyer, there he is again, man. Wherever there's a kid to be tortured, Steny says, take him out. Inslee, Jackson from Illinois, Jackson Lee from Texas, what a wonderful person. Jones from Ohio, Kennedy from Rhode Island. Here's Kennedy, no mercy Kennedy. Well, when did a Kennedy ever show mercy to a woman? Kilpatrick, Lawson, or a baby. Lee, Levin, there's Dirty Levin. Lewis from Georgia, there's Lofgren's old Zoe doing, working her trade. Lowy, Maloney, Phony Maloney from New York. Matsui, Markey is there again. He's one of these second row communists. When the first row is exhausted, They fall back, and then guys like Markey come up and take the front row. Alvear, Pastor, Paul, Payne, Pelosi, Grandma, Grandma, you're killing the kids. Any child but mine. Price, North Carolina, Rangel, Charlie Rangel, what up? He's one of the faithful destroyers of life. Royal Allard, Roy Ballard, Sabo, Bernie Sanders, I'm not having any children and neither is anybody else. Schakowsky, what a disgrace to the race. A Slaughter, appropriate name. Snyder, Stark, Tauscher, Thompson from California and Baghdad, he went and tried to impregnate the Saddam. Tierney, Udall, oh, I'm only checking off, I'm not reading everybody, I'm only checking off the flag burners. The two Udalls are flag burners. Velasquez, Visklosky, Maxine Waters, Watson, Watt, there's Henry Waxman, Anthony Weiner, man, and they pass him off as Mr. Compassionate. And the New York City Fire Department endorsed him for Congress. How's that? The same fire department that will risk their life and limb to save a baby. They vote for a baby killer. They vote for a flag burner. And they parade 343 flags in the names of guys like John Holman, Eric Olson, Vernon Cherry, Faustino Apostol. And they disgrace the honor of their names by endorsing Anthony Burn That Flag Wiener. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And if you're going to tell me you didn't know, you didn't vet. And while we're on the subject of people who betray this country, I'm going to tell you about Casey Sheehan's mother. She dragged her son's body around for communist votes all over the world, but nobody ever gave Casey his turned back. Does she take stolen American money from El Stinko, Hugo Chavez? She refused to buy Casey a tombstone, but she made a bundle on his sacrifice bunt for America. Did you know Casey used to deliver communion to guys in foxholes? Did you know he died on Palm Sunday after serving Mass? Did you know he pulled one guy off of a detail saying, "I go where my boss goes"? Do you know he joined up to get away from his communist mother? No, Casey never got his turn at bat. His mother turned his legacy into a strikeout in Mudville. And now the military brass, being politically correct, doesn't want to recognize his sacrifice for fear of red propaganda. Yet there is a chapel in Fort Hood named after him. And wait till the Camo Democrats find out. They will shut that down faster than Obama life support for a newborn baby. One nation under God. God, not under God. Or house arrest. More tea, anybody? The next time you hear some communist talking about reparations for slavery, ask them who's going to pay for the 1,000 horses that were lost at Gettysburg. Who's going to pay for all the white boys buried on both sides of the trenches? Are they going to be first in line to get paid?
My brave lad sleeps in his faded coat of blue. In a lonely grave unknown lies the heart that beats so true. He sang faint and hungry among the famished brave, and they laid him sad and lonely within his nameless grave. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for the faded coat of blue. He cried, give me water and just a little crumb. And my mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. Yet my heart with startling beat, with each footfall at my door, I gaze over the hill where he waved a last adieu. But no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle. In thy grave unknown, I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue.
Today's a good day to hit the History Channel and see some World War II footage that you'll never see. Maybe you never see again. By the time the communists get through with us, they'll have rewritten history. I often say they're waiting for the last World War II vet to die so they can rewrite history. When all the witnesses are gone, they will say it never happened the way that it did happen. It will be the Hollywood version. And somebody mentioned to me about Hollywood that they could understand how Muslims hate us based on what comes out of Hollywood. And it's true. If I was a religious Muslim and I saw the crap that comes out of Hollywood, much of it would not even make a box office profit if it wasn't for the subsidies and the cable bill, where you have to buy the whole package, and actually you're supporting crap. But these Muslims, when they see the Hollywood version of what America really looks like, I would be incensed. I would want to come here and cut everybody's throat too. Okay, here we go. Why the American flag is folded 13 times. I never knew this. Today's a good day to hit the History Channel and see. I'm looking at pictures of Ilian Gonzalez in his Cuban army uniform. And I'm asking myself, I wonder if Castro paid Clinton $450,000 to get Gonzalez. Huh? You think that Castro donated to the Clinton library? Maybe he's sending over sugar. Yeah, I got a picture of a picture from the San Francisco Angels, and he's throwing a ball, and he looks like Ilian Gonzalez. So I started a rumor that he's the real Ilian Gonzalez, and that the kid in Cuba is a decoy. Yeah, and you know what? If all of a sudden they start torturing Ilian Gonzalez to find out if he's the decoy, you'll know that my rumor is working. Hang in there. We'll do a tribute to the fallen. And I'm not talking about the woman you were out drinking with last night. Would you like to hear a politically correct song? How about, I got the global warming blues. I got the right to feel low down. I got the right to hang around near that melted glacier. Al Gore's been to my hometown, dragging dead polar bears around. All I see for me is high humidity. I got the global warming blues. Then I have another one called The Squanderer. And all of the congressmen and the senators can sing this. Well, I'm the politician who tore up all your votes. We don't show for meetings, only wave from campaign floats. I voted for the health care cause I know what's good for you. I voted for maximum security health care prison in Illinois for a guy named Abu. I'm the squanderer, yes, the squanderer. I turned the New Jersey tax money over to Mary Landeroo. We're paying off the Senate with grants and gifts galore. We're keeping all the crooks that you left to mine the store. We got Frank, Dodd, and Levin, whose pockets they are full. And the ink ran out. We're the squanderers, we're the squanderers. Give us more and more and more. Get ready to face the facts. We consider your paycheck a windfall profits tax.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you day and night.
Let's see here. Looks like, am I missing something? No, 4 or 5. In God We Trust is on the currency. The Latin above the pyramid, Anuit Coeptus, means God has favored our undertaking. And welcome to our Memorial Day celebration. This is the Spirit of America party. And I thought I'd open up with, I was digging through some old paperwork, and I came across this, and I'll share it with you. My son, FBI, 1995 to present, is a team leader in the Bureau CIRG, Critical Incident Response Group, division out of Quantico. As the date for the inauguration approached, I asked him if he was going to be able to avoid going into the district and fighting the record crowds and traffic. To my surprise, he replied, "Dad, I got one of the greatest assignments you could ever imagine. Due to my work with the folks who run the Stolen Valor Program, that's directed against people wearing military medals for which they're not entitled, like the Attorney General of Connecticut, I've been selected to escort the recipients of the Medal of Honor who will be attending the ceremony. As a proud VMI graduate and an Army veteran," he was on cloud nine. "On the day of the inauguration, just before noon, I received a call from him telling me that he was standing with the 48 Medal of Honor attendees on the steps of the Capitol, awaiting the oath of office for the new president. He said many were World War II veterans and ages ranged from 80s to the 60s. What struck him the most was his observation that these guys just come across as regular people, with no big egos or bragging. They're very humble, and some almost seem embarrassed to anyone that wants to make a fuss over them. I am so honored to be among them. However, when I spoke to him a few days later, another image of the event had emerged. For the first time since 1953, when the first inaugural ball honoring Medal of Honor recipients was organized for President Eisenhower, the new president, Mr. Obama, didn't bother to attend. Normally, the MOH ball is the first stop for a new president, and the last nine presidents from both parties have gone out of their way to pay tribute to these men who have earned the nation's highest military award for bravery. But not this time. My son tells me that the honored veterans waited patiently until it became clear that this year, for the first time in 56 years, their president would not be paying them a visit. For some who have attended every ball since its inception in 53, they were bewildered as to why this year he chose not to visit them, if only for a few minutes. For these men, tradition is very important, and for many of them, tradition was what gave them the courage to perform the valiant acts which earned them the MOH. My son told me there were expressions of sadness and disappointment, and a fear that this snub may only be a precursor of how military service will be viewed by the new administration in the future. So, now, Obama not only snubs the living, but he also snubs our sacred dead. And you know what you can do with this president? He's finished in my book. We will open our show and our tribute to the fallen, wishing everybody a pleasant, not a happy Memorial Day, but a pleasant Memorial Day. And we'll open with the Navy hymn.
Oh.
what started out as a two or three verse hymn has been added on by different branches of the service over the years. And I'll read you a couple. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in dangerous hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoever they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea. O Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, thy brethren go, protect them by thy guardian hand from every peril on the land. To all Marines, both day and night, their courage, honor, strength, and skill, their land to serve, thy law fulfill, be thou the shield forevermore from every peril to the core. It was added in 1966. Lord, stand beside the men who build and give them courage, strength, and skill. O grant them peace of heart and mind and comfort loved ones left behind. Lord, hear our prayer for all CBs, where they be on land and sea. Added in 1960. Lord God, our power evermore, whose arm doth reach the ocean floor, dive with our men beneath the sea, traverse the depths protectively. O hear us when we pray and keep them safe from peril in the deep. Added in 1965. O God, protect the women who in service faith in thee renew. O guide devoted hands of skill and bless their work within thy will. Inspire their lives that they may be examples fair on land and sea. That was added in 48. Then another line in 72, and another line in 73.
Look homeward, angel, tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel, find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? No, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? No, do her empty.
know, these terrorists can change their modus operandi real quick. They can do it on the fly. Right now, you're watching botched explosions. But you may see a day come in this country when you'll see targeted assassinations one-on-one, just like they did to Van Gogh in Holland, like they did to Maya Kahane in Brooklyn. When are we going to wake up? First off, if I was president of the United States, hold on, let me get my presidential gear out. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Whoa, can't we do it with a little bit of a Latin twist? Let's take it from the top. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Fellow Americans, guess what? The borders are closed. Yeah, I became your president at exactly 3:30 this afternoon, and the borders were closed by 4. Isn't it wonderful? And now Arizona can go back to sleeping safe and sound. Oh, we have an oil spill, and of course, the last president left me a mess. He left me a bad economy. He left me a disabled military. He left me a whole bunch of lemons, including the House and the Senate. And so I've decided to cut expenses and balance the budget, and I've laid off the House and the Senate. I will now run all three branches of government, and I may put myself on the Supreme Court. I know it's unconstitutional. By the time the lawyers get it into the courts, we'll have accomplished the mission. We're going to start the cleanup that Obama left, the mess that, what's his name, BP, the British oil spill, did. And the good news is that we have lots of oil. Did you see all that oil coming up out of that little 7-inch hole in the ground? Can you imagine how much oil is there? We're rich! Yes. And you know what? We're going to give the money to the people. We're not keeping it in war chests and paying MSNBC to knock this country with big advertising money. MSNBC is fired. CNN is fired. The New York Times is closed under the Sedition Act. I'm the President of the United States. I am charged with one supreme duty, to protect the people of the United States, and I'm not going to allow you to read that trash anymore. Okay, now, we have a question of 1,300 attorney generals who are supposed to resign today, and I'll be appointing Catholic cardinals to their jobs. And the good news is the cardinals are going to be allowed to keep their baseball uniforms. Every vet will have an ambassadorship to some country. And the only qualifications are you have to be a wounded veteran, and then you can be ambassador to any country you want. We're increasing the military death benefit to $2 million per loss of a great American, and $1 million for any major combat wound. Two legs, $2 million. Two eyes, $2 million. At least when you show your children your bank book in Braille, you'll be able to say, "Son, I served my country and my country served me. They watched my back while I gave my life and limb." And I'll be going to Arlington Cemetery once a week. And Chicago is closed. And California has to uncap all the oil wells and pay all the money back to all the states they've been robbing for years. And I will have the American Academy Awards. And I can tell you right now, there's only one winner, and that's Mel Gibson. And that's when you watch the media, you know, when they pack your lunch in a package, they take your they subsidize Six Sex and films that would never sell, and now you've got to pay for them under the new communist regime. That's all gone. That's over with. You get now a single line vote on your media bill, on your cable bill. If you don't want Sex in the City, you don't have to pay for it. It won't be subsidized by you. Your money goes to where you want it to go. Schools? You want parochial schools? You keep the tax money. You pay your kids' tuition. This is a new program. Everybody's going to like it. And Mayor Bloomingdale is fired. I am replacing Mayor of Bloomingdale with Mother Roberta. And Mayor Bloomingdale is out. He let St. Vincent's close. Those people that are down there in Chelsea, if they have a heart attack, they're going to die. They got nowhere to go. And Bloomingdale's responsible. But he built a mosque. He is now the Imam of New York City. And that's why he has to leave. He's the head mucky muck. And anybody who can buy the city council and buy Community Board 1 and owns them lock, stock, and barrel and gives himself 3 terms is a 3-term loser and he has to go. Get on your little bicycle and pedal out of town, Bloomy. You're fired. Eric Holder, he's in Gitmo right now. He's under arrest. Ask me anything. Small farmer, you're back in business, buddy. Whatever you need, you call me tomorrow morning. We'll work it out. Small business, you're back in business, buddy. I want to see industry. I want to see smokestacks again. I want to see coal. I love coal. The Sierra Club will be confined to the Sierras. The ACLU will all be in Gitmo by Wednesday. The Communist Council of Churches has to move back to Cuba and to be with their Pope, Fidel Castro. The Southern Poverty Law Center will be stripped of all its earnings. And that will give meaning to the truth, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hollywood is closed, and we're banning the movie Saving Private Spielberg. Sean Phnom Penh has to marry Cindy Sheehan. And both have to register as agents of a foreign country. Donald Trump has to give free room and board to the 10th Mountain Division for the Memorial Day weekend. Party on, boys! We're giving the keys of New York City to the 10th Mountain Division and any man in military uniform. If you're wearing the uniform of the military of the United States, the drinks are on New York. You don't have to pay for anything. Cab rides are free. Broadway shows will be forced to remain open to accommodate veterans and their wives. And they will be the only ones invited to the American Academy Awards, where Mel Gibson wins everything. And you can only approach the red carpet in a military vehicle. I want to see helicopters, Humvees, and golden parachutists. And the proceeds of all Bleeding Heart rock concerts will go to fighting marijuana and burning the crops. All politicians have to take a lie detector test and a drug test. Every woman must have 5 children, and the penalty for divorce is death. Any married man found at a laptop bar will have his laptop removed. Any pet lover caught walking their dog on another man's property will immediately have 18 tons of manure drop-shipped to their front lawn. Anybody holding 2 passports has to turn in their American one and go back to the other passport country. Except Irish nuns from Wexford. All women have to take a weapons familiarization course and join the NRA. This way you won't have to dial 911. You can shoot a Mach 7. Anybody who was married at an Elvis Presley chapel in Las Vegas, that marriage is declared null and void, and you have to turn in your electric guitar. All electric guitars have to be registered with the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Folk singers must wash before services. Anybody wearing a beard has to declare whether or not they're Iranian. If you're Mexican and you snuck across the border, you have to sneak on back. We won't look. Chuck Schumer has to explain why he pulled the card of an Ohio senatorial candidate, and he has to deny that the reason he pulled it was the guy was an Iraq war veteran. You don't know that story. You better start Googling to find out what's happened to your country. Rod Blagojevich has to be legally divorced before he can marry Princess Fergie. Barbara Streisand has to sing People Who Need People on the bow of a nuclear submarine. 60 fathoms deep. Michael Moore has to go back to the Pribilof Islands so he can prepare his winter coat. New York City taxi cab drivers are authorized not to stop for Danny Glover because everybody knows he's a lousy tipper. Anthony Weiner can only work in rodent killer commercials. Chuck Schumer is not allowed to ride the New York subway after eating a can full of Bush baked beans. The Pentagon has to take down the sign, "This building protected by ADT. Admiral Lemon has to watch 180 World War II movies. Secretary Gates will be replaced by a drunk with a bad temper. Donald Rumsfeld will play the role that was played by, the movie was Paul Newman in the movie Hombre. Fantastic. I call him the Rumsfeld Marshal. He shall have the title, the Rumsfeld Marshal. He was a pitcher who went seven innings, and he served his country masterfully, and he was attacked by the communists. Oh, and the New York Times, the building will be turned into a hospital for the aged, and we'll take care of gray-haired ladies. Community Board 1 will have their condos and homes seized under eminent domain, and they will be relocated to Canarsie. And they can only meet at the Rianute Social Club. Chris Matthews, a Rasbanjani, will have 2 pit bulls attached to his leg at all times. Keith Doberman has to wear a Carmen Miranda hat and earrings doing broadcasts, especially in his farewell address as Marine Killing NBC closes. Jeffrey Immelt will be relieved of his duties as president of GE, and he will be reassigned to the USO, where he will entertain the troops as a woman. Paul Begala and Larry O'Donnell will be removed from their present status. They will be sent to a sword maker to have scabbards made for their tongues. That communist witch show, The View, will be renamed The Puke, and it will be mandatory for people with seasickness to watch it. Joy Behar will be commanded to play the role of Gunga Din in The Lives of the Bengal Lancers, the remake. Whoopi Goldberg will have to give up her stage name and go back to her real name, Poopy Goldfarb. Any senator who votes to kill kids and votes to burn the American flag must resign without pay immediately. That's 48 senators, and I have a whole list of names, which Joe McCarthy will read to you. 135 Viet Congress mice also will suffer the same fate. Those who kill kids, especially, and those who vote to burn the flag. Joe McCarthy will read that list also. In addition to the American Academy Awards, we will also have the Ethel and Julius Awards with an oak leaf cluster for CBS for its betrayal of American troops in the field. And saying, we don't care, we're in charge, we can do anything we want. And if you're a comedian and you attack anybody, religiously or politically, using the shield of comedy, that shield is now removed, and you must face your attackees, who will be given first punches. Right of first punch. And the budget will be balanced next week, right after we auction off all of the second homes of the House and the Senate, and seize the war chests that never go to war. Bartender, champagne. Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show, courtesy of Blog Talk Radio. You know the story about the Victory Mosque down at No Liberty Plaza. Do you know that the Community Board 1 voted unanimously, 29-0, to erect, to allow the Muslims to build a Victory Mosque 2 blocks from where Americans were crushed and pummeled to death by 19 Muslims. So, not one dissenting vote. They voted unanimously. Unbelievable. And you know who's responsible for it? Mayor Bloomingdale. Mayor Bloomingdale appointed the head of Community Board 1. She is directly owes her job to him. All he had to do was pick up the phone and say, don't let this happen. And she would have followed his instructions. But his instructions must be, in my opinion, I have no bone to pick with that. We have to move on. That's what he said when they asked him about where are the towers? When are they going to be rebuilt? Do you know when they show a skyline of New York now, they show the 1929 skyline? Do you know that? Sylvester Stallone's got a movie where they're all trapped in the Battery Tunnel. I think it's supposed to be Muslim terrorists blow up the tunnel. And don't give me this good Muslim, bad Muslim stuff. My friends, Islam is the religion of jihad. Conversions are made through conquest. Jihad is not a Gaelic name. A jihad is an Arab name. It means holy war. Whether they are just funding the money to kill you, or they are taking up the knife and sword to kill you, or the anthrax, or the smallpox, or the nuke, this is a Muslim holy war against the infidel. And those 29 board members of Community Board 1 will be the first to be have their throats cut because they're the wrong religion. So, a guy comes into my place today, and I recall him from a couple of years after 9-1-1. And he's got a T-shirt on that says Helicopter Pilots Association. I say to him, "You're a helicopter pilot?" He goes, "Yeah." And it comes back to me the last time I talked to him. I think. I might be wrong. And I didn't ask him about it. But I think he was one of the police helicopters that witnessed, you know, how all those people were trapped up on the top of the World Trade Center. I might be wrong, but I think he was a witness to it. I think he was one of the choppers. But anyway, and it always bothers me that there was nothing we could do to save those people. Nothing. It's really sad. We were not prepared at all. We were not prepared at all. We were so wide open, it was ridiculous. But anyway, I said to him, and I said, "What do you think about this mosque going up near the World Trade Center?" "Well, man, I'll tell you." He started out a very nice and calm and polite, and when he left, he says, "I got to go home now, and I got to relax because you got me all excited." And he carried on, and you know what he started out with? He started out with Community Board 1 and the people that are on that board and the ilk that they are. They're the same board that probably complained there was too much DNA dust on their windowsills and wanted to know when the EPA was going to clean it up. They're all sellouts. They are 9-10 New Yorkers, and they blame the United States on 9-11. They're all communist sellouts. They're as much a New Yorker as a New York rat. Or as we call them, squirrels. Big city squirrels. Unbelievable. Well, this guy started ranting and raving, and he went on, and he went on. And then he started to curse a Supreme Court judge named Nicholas, and I can't remember, he had I think he spelled it G-U-A-R-I-U-S, who just ruled that the New York City Fire Department test was unconstitutional, and he has ruled that the test is not cannot the awards for the people who passed the test cannot be given, and he wants a new test. And the reason was there weren't enough blacks and Latinos in the test. It was 90% white and it was 10% blacks and Latinos. So he ruled that it was discrimination. The judge, according to my friend, was appointed by Bill Clinton. Okay? And he was saying, "Oh, everybody gets to watch the Supreme Court judges being selected. But all these other judges that are undermining the country, they're all handpicked by the Communist Party, which is now the Democrat Party." My friends, if you're a Democrat, you're a communist. There's no two ways about it. You are a communist. You're anti-American. If you're a Democrat, you're against America winning anything. You are no longer a Democrat. You are not the Democrat that Harry Truman was born into. You are the Democrat that Joseph Stalin liked. You're part of the Rosenberg clan. You're selling out your country. under the guise of togetherness. You know what's going to happen with togetherness? A civil war. That's what's coming. And we're all going to be up the fat lady's burqa. And that Victory Mosque should not be allowed to be built. And it's going to be real sad. These Muslims are going to turn Americans against Americans. That's their goal. It's a religion of war. And they're at war with us, and we don't know it. And you know what feeds jihad treasuries? Oil money. You see all the oil that's being pumped out of that one little hole down in the off of Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico? You see how much oil is coming out of that one little hole? We got all the oil we need. We don't need any Arab oil. The price of oil should be $9.11 a barrel. You want to stop jihad, you got to dry up the source of funds. And oil from the Arab countries is a source of funds for jihad. $9.11 a barrel, that should be the national goal. We got plenty of oil, we don't need theirs. Don't buy the lie. You buy the lie, you're going to be paying for your own suicide watch. That's one little hole in the ground, 7 inches. And look at all the oil that's coming up. We got plenty of oil right here in the backyard. Arnold Schwarzenegger could pay his state's debt tomorrow if he uncapped the oil wells in California. But he'd rather the people of Nebraska pick up the tab because they pay as they go. So California is getting welfare from Nebraska. So this guy was upset. And he says, I was looking up a part for a minute, and he goes, you know what, while you're looking, I want to go out to my car. I want to show you this newspaper clipping, what they just did to the fire department. And I said, you know what's sad? You know what's really sad? This Anthony Weiner, he voted to let the American flag burn. He was one of 135 congressmen who voted to let the American flag burn. It was called the Flag Desecration Act. They were going to make it a federal crime to burn an American flag. And you see that they're not burning American flags lately. You know why? Because they're going to wait until they're strong. Then they're going to burn them all the time. So I said, you know, this Anthony Weiner voted to let the American flag burn, and he was endorsed by the New York City Fire Department. And they carry 343 flags in every parade, representing 343 firemen who gave up their lives, who stayed behind to help helpless people and try and get them out of the building. 343 American flags, and they endorsed a bastard who voted to let it burn. Unbelievable. So he goes out to his vehicle and he comes back with the newspaper article. You know how big the newspaper article was? Twice the size of a postage stamp. How quietly they stiffed everybody. It must have been on the back page. And they didn't even mention the judge's name. And I says, you know, when somebody does us harm, the papers never announce who the culprit is. They never announced the judge, his background, where he came from, how many Communist Party groups he's affiliated with, how many anti-religious groups he's affiliated with, how many hookers he keeps in the back room. You never know. All they tell you is, the judge ruled. I want to know who the judge is. And the New York Times, it's time that the entire newspaper got indicted for treason. And let Pinchy Sulzberger explain in court why he double-crosses troops in the field. Somebody's got to call him out. And Republicans, don't wait till you're in office to do it. You're in office now. Don't wait till you have a majority. Do it now. Stand up. Stop hiding under the desk. And don't think you're getting a pass either. If the Democrats are all gone, that party is finished. That party is over. There's only one party left, and that party's going to be split in two. So you better stand up now and be counted, or else you're going to be trampled in November. So the Times went and made a big atrocity about Abu Ghraib when they had the panty raids. And Bush let American soldiers go to jail. And he never pardoned them. He never cut them a break. He never pardoned the border guards. And that's Bush's legacy. He's done some great things. I'll tell you the one greatest thing he did. He gave us two conservative Supreme Court judges, and that's the only thing. The United States is hanging by a judicial thread. The House, the Senate, and the Al-Qaeda presidency has total control. The only thing that's keeping us from being slaves are two conservative judges. The balance of power of the entire United States is in the hands of two conservative judges. And you better pray that they don't meet with a Soviet accident. So, in memory of the Abu Ghraib atrocities, I'm going to play you the Abu Ghraib song.
Watching Fox and I'm reading